Welcome back, loyal listeners, to another episode of 2 Minute Shed. I am Chris, the Big Belly Cannibal, accompanied by...
Cannibal? Through the cannibal?
Accompanied by... Hello and good night.
What are you, John Fetterman now? You can't talk?
Oh! Hold on. I support franking, and I don't support franking. I support franking. You know, life is a gourd.
Man, okay, since you started that way, did you watch that debate?
I couldn't, dude. I just couldn't get through it. I just couldn't do it.
It was less than an hour, so I thought, I'm going to check this out, because I'm very interested in how Fetterman speaks after his stroke and all that. And I'm telling you what, it was a travesty. It's Joe Biden all over again. I mean, Fetterman's wife, Giselle, along with Jill Biden, should be brought up on charges of abuse for wanting power so bad that they force their people into these races that they have no business being in. I mean, this was just sad. I mean, let me break this down into two parts because, you know, the Democrats, they're all like, oh, he did a great job, which, you know, they're lying because they want power so bad that now they're accusing people of ableism because I'm tired of people making up all these words now. It's ableism. You're mad at him because he had a stroke, but it's ableism. Okay, let's use common sense for a minute, Chris. We're talking about the United States Senate here. This guy cannot speak without a teleprompter, and even with a teleprompter, he still cannot manage to speak. It's sad. So let's just separate the two. First of all, he had a stroke in May. Now, who in their right mind thinks somebody who just had a stroke and is not fully recovered should be in the United States Senate? Second of all, if you erase the stroke and look at his policies, he shouldn't be in the United States Senate anyway, because the guy has never had a real job. He's like 50 years old. He's never had a real job. He's lived off his parents. They gave him a weekly allowance till he became lieutenant governor 3 years ago. He was a mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania, which was a crap hole because, you know, a steel mill and all that shut down. It was crappy when he got there. It was worse when he left 8 years later. And now all of a sudden he wants to be in the Senate, and after I had a stroke in May, I mean, this is just a perfect example of the Democrats wanting to hold power so much that they don't care who it is, as long as they have a D beside their name, they think they're worthy. The Philadelphia Inquirer newspaper said he won that debate. He did great. It was sad, man. It's sad. I sat and watched it, and he oh, it was just terrible, dude. And plus, I mean, they, you know, the whole thing about fracking, they said, you said in 2018 you're against fracking. What do you say now? He said, I am for fracking. I've always been for fracking. I've always been for it. Then they played the clip. I am for fracking. I stand by that. I mean, I said it intelligently. He could not even put the words out together like I did. It was sad, dude. It was sad. You ought to watch it just to see how sad it really was.
Terrible. Well, I saw the highlights. You know, I looked, you know, the top of the fangs, as you were, my Halloween puns, the top of the fang, you know, and yeah, I just couldn't get through it. The way he would just sit there and kind of read the teleprompter, and to me, I feel like it's a little bit of cheating. How do you know the person typing on a teleprompter isn't typing in his answers for him?
That's what was happening. That's what was happening. We know that.
You know, he looked like a broken down wax figurine whose animatronics was just slowing down. They need to be re-oiled or something. It was pitiful.
And here's the other sad part. Obama and Biden are going out to Pennsylvania, I believe, this weekend, you know, because we're less than 2 weeks from the election. Now, first of all, why the hell is Biden, who can barely speak, going to do a rally for somebody else who can't speak? It makes no sense. This is ridiculous. Democrats are all fucked up. They do not care if anyone can do the job, as we know Biden couldn't, and they still put him out there because they want power. This is sad, man. This is not for the best of the country. This is just, we want power. It's disgusting, man. And anybody who watched that debate and still votes for John Fetterman is an idiot in Pennsylvania, and John Fetterman kept putting it off till October 25th because early mail-in voting, he knew half the people would have already voted. That's why he put it off so long. It's disgusting, and that's why you should not have early mail-in voting like 3 or 4 weeks ahead of the election. It's stupid. because of stuff like that. It makes me sick, man. But
you know, these Democrat strategists. You know, yeah. You know, I got that Fetter talk going on right now. I texted you earlier and said I'm going to make fun of you when you talk like that. It's called Fetter talk, but now I'm doing it. I mean, it's kind of genius, though. They're like, fuck it. If we're going to debate, we're going to make sure that early voting is currently going on to get those votes in before we go show how bad he really is.
And they lied, though. And the media, all of them lied. He did an interview with NBC, I think, just last week. And the NBC reporter was actually honest and said, yeah, he could barely carry on a conversation before we even started with the teleprompter. He could barely carry a conversation. Other reporters came out and said, oh, that's wrong. I talked to him a few weeks ago. He was perfect. He was fine. They were all trying to hide it. It's just another hoax from the Democrats to remain in power. The reporters were in on it, too. They lied. They knew the guy was not coherent and all that. It was ridiculous, dude. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen on freaking TV. All because his wife is like Jill Biden and wants power. It's sad. It's pathetic.
I agree. But, I mean, it's sad pathetic to see it, but it's sad pathetic to know that voters are with their own feelings, their eyes and ears are seeing it, are still going to go fucking vote.
Because he has a D beside his name. It's so stupid. We are no longer voting for the person that's perfect for the job. We are so ideological now. It's you got a D or an R. See, I was never like that, and I'm still not. That's why I didn't vote for John McCain, because I hated the guy. I thought he sucked just because he was a Republican. I didn't vote for Mitt Romney because I thought he sucked, and I didn't like Obama either. That's why I sat out both of those elections, because I wasn't going to vote for someone just because they had an R beside their name. I thought they all sucked. But that's the problem with everybody. They're going out there still voting D, 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 even though the guy cannot even speak a damn sentence.
He can't even say D.
No.
He said D's nuts.
It's like you said, he started the debate out with, good night, everybody. That was how he started it out.
Yeah.
It was pathetic.
Good night, everybody.
It was pathetic. Oh, yeah. My gosh, man. I don't know.
But I mean, let's get back on track here. That was fun to start the episode that way, but you know, this episode we're going to try to lift your spirits. You see what I did there? There's another Halloween pun. We're going to talk about the top 10 Halloween movies. We're going to talk baseball, maybe a little bit of food, or maybe the shitty fucking. You know what? I ain't gonna say shitty sandwich, but I'm tired of eating fucking chicken sandwiches.
We're done. So hopefully, this is it. I'm tired of chicken sandwiches. If I have to eat another one, I'm gonna fucking stab my eye out.
Gonna stab my eye out, but you know, your eyes make you beautiful, George. So don't do that.
Shut the fuck up with your puns and shit, dude. Shut up. But hey, hold on. Let me go back to that Pennsylvania thing for a second here, because the election already, you know, I don't know if we'll ever have a fair and free election like they like the Democrats keep trying to say 2020 was, you know, the most safe election of all time. There's just so much fraud going on. Even now, the Pennsylvania Secretary of State Democrat is coming out saying, oh, we won't know the results on election night, you know, there's just going to be so much going on. Because I think they're already trying to work the figures up there, you know? It's like, once again, all these mail-in ballots, which the Supreme Court told Pennsylvania that it was illegal for them to do, but they said, hey, we're going to do it anyway. So they're doing it anyway, and everybody knows that's fraud. So they already know something's going on. If they don't get the numbers they want, just like tonight Joe Biden supposedly, well, not the night, but the next day when Joe Biden didn't have the numbers in the middle of the night, all these truckloads showed up. I think it's already going to happen again, dude. I think it's already going to happen again. And then Hillary Clinton, which I wish she would just go to fuck away, but she had the nerve the other day to come out and say, the Republicans are already trying to steal the 2024 election. They're already working on stealing it. The nerve of this bitch. You talk about election deniers. Who's been saying she got screwed the past 6 years?
Oh, yeah, Hillary has been an election denier since the get-go. And everything's been proved wrong.
Yep.
So I don't understand why people just don't wake up and say, you know what, these motherfuckers, they're turning tyrannical. Think about what they did during the pandemic and closing everything down and closing up people's businesses and saying you don't have a right to worship or gather in assembly, but you can fucking riot.
And you can still go to Lowe's and Walmart and all that.
Yeah, all the big ones, all the big donors get to stay open, you know, but mom and pop, you got to suffer.
Yep.
So that's where COVID really was. I said that in classroom the other day. People were like, well, if it's bad flu season, do you think we're going to have to mask up? I was like, don't go to Walmart and Lowe's, or I said, don't go to mom and pop shops, because they're talking about going to like indie bookshops and mom and pop shops, you know? I was like, don't go there, because that's where all the diseases are. They're like, what? I was like, yeah, that's what happened during COVID. They shut down all the mom and pop shops. So.
And they were probably like, well, we don't even know what you're talking about.
Mm. Yeah, they don't get it. They don't get it.
Stupid.
You know, so weren't you glad for Halloween, though, George?
What's that?
Weren't you glad for Halloween?
Oh, are you trying another pun there? But no, I really don't. I've never been a big fan of Halloween. I mean, I'm not against it. I don't really care one way or the other. But I tell you what, my daughter, she loves Halloween. When I watch her,
what's she gonna dress up as?
She's got a couple options. I think she's going to be. Shoot, what was that one? I know last year she was Elsa, and she's got a choice of Elsa this year or a tigress or something. I can't remember the other one. I meant to ask what that was, but I was told what it was, but I don't know if it was a character or whatever. But anyway, make a long story short, I really don't know what she's going to be, but how come my picture's not coming up? Okay, here we go. But
What are you doing there? I can't see you. Are you getting undressed or something?
No, I'm making sure the phone is set right here near the computer so I can record you fine, but...
Yeah.
For some reason, it wants to keep falling. So hopefully it's still recording good. So I don't know. I don't know, Chris.
That's
I don't
the
know.
Transparency we have, listeners. You get to listen right in when we have difficulties like this. You know? That's cool. Is she going trick-or-treating?
Well, they're going to do the little church, what they call it, trunk-or-treat or whatever they call it nowadays.
Trunk-or-treat?
Yeah.
I feel like kids get ripped off now with trunk-or-treat.
Well,
it's
safer, obviously, so that's the way to go.
Oh, fuck.
No, I don't want my little girl knocking on people's shady doors and all that crap.
Well, that's why you go to the good neighborhoods.
There's no good people left in the world, Chris. There's all shady people. I believe the killer clown lived in a nice neighborhood, if I recall.
All I'm saying is you show up in a parking lot and the kids make a little laugh. It's not even worth getting dressed up for nowadays.
They still enjoy it. They're little kids, and they don't know the difference. They weren't brought up going door to door. They don't know.
Now, eventually, she'll find out the truth. So she's going to get some candy, huh?
Oh, yeah, she'll get some candy.
Yeah, she's going to end up gobbling up all those sweets.
God, you're just full of them this week, aren't you? yeah, you're full of them. I'm still trying to get over this little respiratory thing I got going on over here. But
you got that illness called Marble Lights, don't you?
No, because you know I been giving that stuff up. I'm clearing it all out. Matter of fact, I had my final meeting this morning on the phone with my quitting smoking lady.
And how did that go?
It went well. She was very proud of me for what I've accomplished. So.
Yeah. I'm proud of you too, George.
Thank you.
Hey, keep up the good work, you know? Keep up the good work. You know, giving up a habit can sometimes be like kissing a vampire, a pain in the neck.
Wow, you came loaded today. Okay. All right. Anyway, hey, since you brought the chicken sandwiches, let's do the chicken sandwich.
Oh, here we go.
I am done with chicken sandwiches. I'm done with this shit. I'm tired of eating chicken sandwiches.
Pizza with chicken!
Done with it. All right, this week what we had to... God damn, this phone won't stay up this week. What is going on here?
Kind of like your...
No, that stays up, asshole. That stays up.
I was trying to think of a Halloween pun.
I know you were. But that stays up. Trust me, that stays up. But anyway, KFC this week.
KFC, finally the last one here.
Finally.
Finally.
What did you think about KFC? The spicy chicken sandwich from KFC served on a toasted brioche bun with thick pickles, 3 to 4 pickles, and a spicy sauce. What did you think about that?
Well, I think it was a knockoff. I think there's a chicken sandwich there, and KFC is usually the leader of chicken-type food, and I feel like it was a knockoff of a Popeye's chicken sandwich. I think the sauce tasted the same. It had 3 pickles. The bun was there. And it, to me, once again, it started off fucking fantastic and ended up on a sour note.
So. You know, I agree with you. I bit into it. It's a thick filet, very thick filet. And it's somewhat juicy. I mean, it wasn't bursting with juice. And it had a little bit of crispiness. But here's the problem here. They liked it. I noticed them and what's the other place? Arby's and maybe one other, they like to serve these sandwiches in tinfoil bags, you know, thinking it keeps them crispy. Yeah. I think it's having the opposite effect. I think it's making the crispiness go away when they put them in these little bags. Because I'm pretty sure Chick-fil-A didn't do that. And they might have, I don't remember. And I don't think Bojangles did that. And theirs were a little crispier. So yeah, this sandwich wasn't exactly the crispiest. I mean, it was decent. You're right. I like the pickles. They were very thick. And they had the little sauce there, a little spicy sauce. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't much different than Popeye's, except for the fact is Popeye's was a lot crispier. So I liked Popeye's better. I don't know. I expected more from KFC.
I did, since it was a chicken sandwich. It's a chicken place with a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I mean,
and the experience has been the Burger Joints that have a good chicken sandwich. But today, I ate into, and I tell you what, I mean, the restaurant was clean. The wait staff were prompt and friendly. They actually had the containers of ketchup and mayonnaise and salt and pepper and everything. That was well stocked. I drank fruit punch, and I went through 2 cups of fruit punch and almost wanted a 3rd cup, but it turned into the fruit syrup. So something happened there, so I had to go with Sobe Life Water. It was during rush hour, so, I mean, it was around 12:30, I think, when I had mine, maybe 12:45. And so, yeah, that area was kind of messy, but it's expected because everyone's over there. But once everything settled down, someone came out, cleaned it up, made it look all nice and tidy. So, visually, and you know, the sanitary part of the restaurant I was at, I thought was good. It was just a sandwich that made me, I didn't even eat the whole thing. I kind of tore it apart. I dipped, you know, the rest of the chicken filet into whatever sauce I could get off the bun. And then I didn't finish my fries because I didn't think the fries were all that good, and I threw it all away.
Damn, we're exactly the same. I didn't finish the sandwich either. Halfway, it tasted good starting out. Halfway through, I thought it got dry. I don't think it had enough sauce on it. So I just put it back in a little bag, and I took it home again like I did Arby's. And the fries, that was their new special recipe fries. Now, I think they had a good intent here with the little crispiness and the little seasoning they put on them. But they were still just like dry and still didn't really seem to have any flavor. So,
yeah.
I mean, and so I wasn't happy with that really. And I washed it down with a Mountain Dew, you know. So I don't know. I was very good. I thought KFC would really bring their game there on that. But the price was $8.32. Not a bad price for the sandwich.
I beat you this week. Oh, my price was $8 and a penny.
Really? Dang, mm-hmm. Dang. So yeah, that's the first one you've been cheaper at. Okay, but actually, it's probably a good value for that sandwich, just not bad price at all. So, but yeah. I was really hoping we'd get into something, and maybe we did them in the wrong order. Because after I ate KFC, I thought, man, if I had Popeyes next, as good as it was, I might be tempted to give Popeyes a 5. But nothing here reached a 5. None of our sandwiches ever reached a 5. KFC, though, I can't say it was a bad sandwich, so I got to give it at least a 4, a weekend fling, because, I mean, it was still good. But I still think, and then I'll shut up and you can tell yours, I still think they're really – someone's missing the opportunity here. If you take the thickness of KFC along with the sauce from Popeyes, along with the pepper jack cheese from Chick-fil-A and the thick pickles from either KFC or Bojangles, you got one hell of a sandwich right there. But nobody's done this yet.
Well, I think you missed a part there too. I don't know if you said it because Bo was being needy. Pepper jack cheese? Did you say pepper jack cheese on it?
Yeah. Okay. From Chick-fil-A, yeah.
I'm going to go with a third star. You know, I lost my virginity to it. Something, you know, it's nothing special.
You only gave it a three star?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like I said, it didn't do much for me, and I felt like it was a knockoff. It wasn't original. It was not a standalone sandwich. I feel like KFC was behind on the sandwich game and looked out there with people doing goods on the chicken sandwiches and said, let's just try and take our best one. And to me, Popeyes was the best one, so I think that's who they were trying to mimic.
I think so.
And they didn't do a whole good. They didn't do well.
No,
I can't. I'm Fetterman talking right now. They did a good job at it.
No. My final rankings, and thank God we're done eating chicken sandwiches because I cannot eat another one. I'm tired of them. But my final ones here, and we probably agree on most of this. Number one was Popeyes. Obviously, that was the best, but it was also the most expensive at $10.58. But as they say, you get what you paid for, right?
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A at number two, $9.94. Chick-fil-A was a good sandwich. And then I was debating where to put KFC ahead of Bojangles, but I couldn't do it. I had to go ahead and put Bojangles at number three for $8.69. And then I got KFC at number four, $8.32. And then Zaxby's, $8.53, Church's Chicken, $7.48, and then McDonald's, $8.96 with a three-star, and then the two-stars, Arby's, Burger King, and Wendy's, which are just worthless and don't even waste your money on.
Yeah. I think my ratings, I didn't break it down like you did, so kudos to you, you know. I mean, I guess I'm just being a basic witch here when I see what I did there. Basic witch here when I do my chicken sandwich ratings. But I'm going to go with Popeyes, Church's, and then Chick-fil-A. Mm. That's my top three right there.
Church's at number two. That's bold. That's a bold statement, Cotton.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how it is. Now, while we were doing this chicken sandwich thing, I actually had chicken sandwiches from other places just because they were on the menu and I was in the spirit. You see what I did there? In the spirit of chicken sandwichesness.
You don't have to tell us every time you do it.
Oh, okay. Well, I need some sort of reaction. and don't be a jerk, Alana, neither.
Oh,
okay?
My God.
And so... I went to Buffalo Wild Wings. I had their buffalo chicken sandwich, and I thought it was really good. I think I would have gave it a weekend fling. I think in time, I'm going to try the Wingstop sandwich I keep seeing commercials for. In time, I'll let this go away for maybe a month. Maybe at the beginning of December or something, I might have the Wingstop sandwich. I had a chicken sandwich from, where was it? Buffalo cheese sandwich from Old Chicago. Wasn't bad at all. You know, it was.
Isn't that a pizza place?
It is a pizza place that had a pretty good chicken sandwich.
Really?
I would say, once again, it was a weekend fling, yeah.
I can't go to a pizza place and not have pizza. Mm.
I know. It's kind of got like going to a pumpkin patch and not cutting into a jack-o'-lantern. You know, like things got to match up. You can't go to a pumpkin patch and turn it into a pumpkin pie. It's got to be a jack-o'-lantern. You know?
Gotcha.
So, but let's make a good clean getaway. Grab our broomsticks and fly away like some witches off this chicken sandwich thing. And let's get back into another top 10, possibly.
Yes, because we reviewed 10 places. That was a good one. I'll give you that one. We reviewed 10 places, and it's going to be a long time before I have another chicken sandwich. I'm a burger guy or a ham and cheese guy. I'm tired of chicken. I'm not going to ever have one probably for a long freaking time. So,
Yeah, I would suggest slices of pizza, but even then, I think they all start to seem the same. I think we might have to go with tacos or something.
Well, I've had a suggestion thrown to me that we should hit the convenience stores and try the various foods at convenience stores.
There's that. But I feel like I'm in and out of convenience stores from traveling down to school and back that,
Around here, really, our only choices of that would be, Speedway and Circle K. That's it around here.
Yeah. Well, let's just put this in the cauldron and let it simmer.
Yeah, put it in the cauldron and let it simmer. Golly, I can't wait till Halloween's over. Jeez, freaking over. All right. What's next on the agenda here?
Oh, I don't know. Where do you want to fly off to now?
Well, how about Kanye West just blowing his whole empire to smithereens here?
I mean...
Dude, he's been dropped by Adidas, his talent agency, Foot Locker, removed all his shoes, Gap dropped him, TJ Maxx dropped him, JP Morgan Bank won't do business with him no more, and Vogue magazine will never write about him again. And in Britain, his wax statue has been removed from the wax museum.
You know, George, he fucked up when he went after Jews.
Yeah.
He was okay until he went after Jews.
Exactly. Everybody gave him a pass. And then the other day, he walked into Skechers and with a film crew, and they escorted his ass right back out and says, we have no intention of doing no business with Kanye West.
Just because he went after Jews. And it's funny how we have politicians, a.k.a. the squad, that are anti-Semitic as fuck, that keep being voted over and over and over again.
Yep, well, because they're Democrats. He's not a Democrat, so that's why. That's the difference. So.
You know, I think he would have survived, you know, White Lives Matters and him going, doing his political thing and being all crazy. Look, here's what I think is going to happen to Kanye. I think he's going to have an Andrew Dice type of career, where Andrew Dice got canceled out because he was edgy and borderline racist and funny, but now he's having like this grandfather comeback acting career. So I think Kanye's probably going to go away, and then he's going to come back even stronger.
Well,
I don't think he's going to be gone.
Well, no. The good thing with Kanye, he has what we call fuck you money. I mean, you know, they can cancel him. But see, he got a little too cocky, though. Just last week, he said, I can say whatever I want about Jews, and Adidas won't touch me. And then the next day, Adidas was like, bye.
Well, a lot of people are saying that. They discussed that on Dan Patrick. Just like, how much income, a line of income was Kanye to Adidas?
$250 million dollars worth they're going to lose this year because they broke their deal with Kanye West.
So is Kanye getting $250 million from them for breaking the contract?
Well, that's a good point. That's how much they say that deal was worth. They didn't really specify to which side, but that's how much that deal was worth, apparently. So.
But Kanye's crazy. I mean, at what point do you just cool off and be like, you know, yeah, too far, or even maybe apologize? I hate the whole apologize thing, but when you start to lose everything, like all the pillars of the empire, apology might go a long way.
Yeah, well, I think he's past that point at this time here. I don't think an apology is even going to solve it. Maybe down the road, I don't know, but I don't think it's going to save him now. But he's like hell bent on just doing what he wants to do and saying what he wants to say, which you have to admire and respect. But at the same time, how much of your empire are you going to blow away by talking about stuff that really not going to change anything or really matters? No.
Yeah, I think he lost his soapbox, and he lost his ability to actually sway people's opinions, especially in politics and this, that, and the other.
Exactly.
Especially once you go after the Jews, you can't do that unless you're part of the squad.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, old Kanye. Oh, yee.
Oh, yee. And, you know, and after Adidas dropped him, his Yeezys went up almost 50%. Some of the rare Yeezys went up 500%.
Yeah, but where are you going to find them now? Because everybody's pulled them out of storage. Where are you going to find them?
Please. You know how many backdoor shoe salesmen there are?
No.
They're pulling them off the shelf, but you can buy them out the back door?
I didn't know they had backdoor salesmen. I didn't know.
You didn't know, well, you got to get into the shoe industry. A lot of times people pay the shoe clerks, you know. They'll pay them like $75 up front, so when these shoes hit the shelf, you just put them away and I'll come in and buy them later.
Oh, okay. So. But, you know, I mean, it is just more of this Democrat hypocrisy that runs around. You know, the squad can say what they want about Jews and nothing said, but, you know, Kanye West can't. So it just goes back. Now, let me tell you this about some more hypocrisy here. There's a 20-year-old Democrat running for state representative in Michigan. Michigan's all screwed up anyway. But let me tell you, this 20-year-old threatened to shoot up a school one time, assaulted a police officer, shared inappropriate pics of his then 13-year-old girlfriend, and then abused her. And the Democrats don't care. They tried to hide all this stuff. They tried to have his record expunged before the media found out about all this, just so he could run for office and all that. This goes back to the whole Fetterman thing. They do not care how the character of the person, as long as they got a D beside their name and they can have power. That's all they care about.
Yeah. Fetterman put a shotgun to a black man's chest and nothing happened.
Exactly. Where did this? In what world is this sane to elect this 20-year-old who threatened to shoot up a school? And the Democrats love that, you know, all about this. They love when schools get shot up because then they can jump on their gun control thing. I mean, this is ridiculous. Is this what we got to? This is where we're at now.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's
disgusting.
It's really disgusting. If this guy had been a Republican, everybody would say, you need to drop out of the race. You're done, blah, 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 blah. But it's a Democrat, so they tried to hide his record and all that. It's disgusting.
Well, see, here's what Republicans don't have. They don't have this Antifa army behind them. Yeah. You know, if it was a Republican, the Democrats would have played these role players, these crisis players, and said, here, go protest outside in front of his house. Matter of fact, start sending him threats. Start sending this, that, and the other. Make him drop out. This intimidation by force that the Democrats like to do.
Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait till the election day because, I mean, there's talk, like we talked about the other day, there's talk of Oregon electing a Republican governor for the first time. Whitmer up in Michigan, the Republican is threatening her position. There's a switch there maybe. In New York, there could be a possible Republican governor because he's neck and neck with her. The Democrats gave up on Florida. They knew Charlie Crist wasn't going to beat DeSantis, so they pulled all the money out of Florida and they gave that race up. Because he's like 11 points behind DeSantis. So, I mean, this is going to be very interesting.
As soon as he said he's going to put an old donkey out to pasture, it was over with.
Beto O'Rourke's losing in Texas again. And hopefully, if he loses this time, we never have to see this guy run for office ever again. And maybe he'll finally get a real job because he's done failed at everything he's tried. So, maybe he'll finally get a real job. So, but, I mean, yeah, it's just, I can't wait till Election Day, man. I can't wait.
Well, I think I'm going to go cast my ballot tomorrow. Early voting opened up, I think, two or three weeks ago here in North Carolina. So I think I'm going to go cast my ballot tomorrow and not even mess with going on Election Day. So.
Also, I think I'm going to finally get rid of my PayPal after – how long have I had PayPal? It's been at least about 20 years I've had PayPal. But remember we talked not too long ago where they said they were going to fine people for spreading misinformation on PayPal?
Yeah. Did you get a fine?
Well, no. This is one thing I wasn't sure how that was working because I'm thinking, well, PayPal's not social media. What do they mean by spreading misinformation all there? Are they checking all your other stuff? Apparently, if you're selling stuff, and I guess during your transactions, you're sending misinformation. I read the article and it still didn't make no sense to me how PayPal was doing this. But when it originally came out, everybody, you know, PayPal came out and said, no, that's not true. It's a false story. Well, apparently it wasn't a false story because apparently just this week they came back out and said, no, we are doing this. We're enforcing this. So, like I said, I still don't understand the whole thing because it's not a social media platform. So, I don't know what PayPal's doing here. But all I know is I've had PayPal for like 20 years. But I think once I take care of some certain things, I think I'm going to finally be done with PayPal. Because who are these people to be fining you for them deciding what's misinformation? I'm sick and tired of these people deciding what's misinformation.
Yeah. It's control. Mm-hmm. Whoever controls information can set the fines and fees and how people think. It's Orwellian, 1984. It's bad news. Like, I just don't understand this whole misinformation thing.
I don't know. It's whoever decides it. If they don't like it, it's misinformation. That's what it is.
Well, it goes against everything that's American. You know, it goes against free speech. And free speech, once again, we've harped on this before, it's there to protect unpopular speech, not popular speech. So they got this whole free speech thing fucking backwards.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
Today in school, we had to talk about where would you send your like short stories or like literary magazines you can send like online or even sometimes like you go to a doctor's office, they got the literary magazines and everything there, right? And everyone's kind of talking like, here, I'm going to submit you know, to minority or you know, disenfranchised people. And I'm like, well, I'm none of that. And once I started saying, I'm going to submit my stuff to the Federalists, and everyone was like, oh, the Federalists. I was like, yeah, if I'm going to do it right. I'm going to go all the way right. And then I was like, I'm going to submit my stuff to the Imaginative Conservative, which is actual literary magazine. I read some stuff on it. Awesome. You know, and it speaks to middle America, tabletop, kitchen table, you know, issues. And, you know, it doesn't talk L.A., Chicago, New York. You know, it gets you out into the Midwest. People are like, well, that's where you want to submit at. I mean, I'm like, where am I going to submit to? Everywhere I look at says, you know, you have to be black or Mexican or female or lean left. Or I don't do any of that. I'm a middle-aged white guy. Where is my story supposed to land at? Yeah. And so it was funny, the shock and all. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go big, too. I'm going to submit to the big fives. You know, Simon & Schuster, Macmillan. And they're like, whoa. Why would you do that? I was like, because I want to get paid. If I can, my story can get out there and I can get the biggest paycheck, I want to get paid. They're like, you don't want to do it for the art? Well, yeah, my art will cost that much if I go there. Well, you know, I want to get paid.
Well, Hunter Biden's making millions off his art. Like, why shouldn't you? It makes no sense. No. You suck that water down. There you go. Refreshing, huh?
Water is life and life is water.
Yeah, I know. I heard that so many fucking times. But anyway. Hey, in our racist item of the week, now, did you hear that the Associated Press is pointing out that the World Series is racist this year because there's no U.S.-born black players in the World Series this year for the first time since 1950s?
You know what's amazing about this is that there are black players, though.
They're just not U.S. born.
African. They got to be labeled U.S. born.
Well, like, well, they have to be labeled U.S. born African American. See, the ones we're looking at are from Venezuela, Dominican Republic, things like that. They're not U.S. born African Americans.
Well, you know what? Maybe baseball has left African American blacks behind.
Well, no,
because
no.
Because they went to NBA and they went to the NFL.
No, you got a great point there. You got a great point there. A lot of them would rather join the NBA and the NFL. But see, here's where this article was. This must have been a reporter who had nothing else to write about, so they revert back to the, oh, well, we got to write a racist article. That always sells. First of all, Dusty Baker of the Houston Astros, the manager, is a black African-American, but they didn't mention him, though. Yeah, he's not a player, but he's the manager and used to be a player. But there's also two other black players that are U.S.-born African-Americans on the Houston Astros. It's just they're both on the disabled list, so they won't be playing in the World Series. But they neglected to point that out in the article because that's not keeping with the racist theme, you know? So once again, it's just a journalist looking to write a story, and of course they always have to revert back to, well, let me do a racist story. You know, the World Series, it's racist! But yet, like you just said right there, they don't point out the lack of white people in the NBA or the dwindling white people in the NFL. They don't point that out, though, because that's acceptable. That's okay. So they don't point that out.
Yeah, but once again, you can't. If you're white, you can't talk race issues.
Nope.
Because it turns you into a racist when you talk race issues. Everyone else can talk race issues, but white people.
I know. All of our listeners out there are lucky that we don't give a shit and we'll talk about it, so they don't have to. But it's nonsense. It's stupidity. So, once again, whenever you see an article about race, I always read it because I just want to see how they twisted the facts. And when I read that article, I was like, wow, they're really stretching here, aren't they? Just to try to paint the World Series. I tell you, it really just came down to a reporter saying, I've got nothing to write about this week. Let me do a racist angle on the World Series. Yes, that'll work. Yeah. Stupid.
Because everything's racist. Yeah, everything's racist. I was listening to the news, it could have been Jesse Waters where they built a burn bridge because something was racist out there, and I don't fucking know. But everything's racist nowadays.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. I heard that. Yeah, they're spending like $25 million on a bridge, and all the residents are like, why? But it's because and all it is to get to a site to watch birds. But,
mm-hmm.
but it's racist if they don't build the bridge because Pete Buttigieg says it's racist.
Yeah, it just makes no sense to me.
And now and now they're also spending $20 million in a little town that doesn't have a very high population. They're spending $20 million of this infrastructure money that Joe Biden gave away on a heated sidewalk. A heated sidewalk.
A heated sidewalk when they can't get the heating oil needed to heat the Northeast right now.
A heated sidewalk. And
25 days supply.
Yep.
And they're doing a heated sidewalk. Yep. I always thought there should be heated roads, actually. I feel like that should have been a technology that we rolled into our infrastructure a millennia ago, but fuck.
Yep.
This is ridiculous, well, dude. Is this what the infrastructure bill is going to? Is heated sidewalks and bird bridges?
Dude, we knew it was going to be wasted. We knew it. We called it. It's always wasted. It's for stupid little projects. It was mainly passed to get all their other nonsense passed, where they stick everything else in the bill. And keeping up with this theme of energy, I mean, electric vehicles have been in the news a lot, and it's been, like we pointed out last week, about the guy who took, 15 hours to drive 178 miles? I mean, it's coming out.
Exactly.
Well, it's coming out more about these electric cars that renters, people who rent, live in apartments and all that, how are they supposed to charge their car up at night? How are they supposed to do that? The infrastructure is not there. And you've got California and New York saying in the next, 15 years, you have to go all electric cars? But the infrastructure is still not there. People are running extension cords from their houses out to the driveways or the side of the road, and then even when they put in charging stations, it takes hours to charge your car. What's going to happen? Somebody's going to come up and unplug your car and charge theirs in. That's what's going to happen, which is going to cause even more issues. It will cause more violence. People are going to be like, "How dare you touch my car?" Blah blah blah.
I saw where crackheads are cutting the cords off and stripping the copper out of it.
And there you go with that. I mean, once again, Democrats did not think things through, and they didn't build the infrastructure, and now they want everybody to go this route. And I read a story the other day where this lady barely made it back home because she was running out of charge, and she went to the local place to charge, and there was a line. It was like the 70s gas stations, the line of people waiting to charge. And like I said last week, depending on what size battery you have, how much charge you want, it can take anywhere from 10, 15, 20 minutes to an hour or 2 hours to charge your car. It's a stupid, man. And then, like you said, once everybody is on this fucking thing, what happens with the power grid? You talk about the electric company robbing people left and blind now? Imagine when everybody's on an electric car, the electric company is going to rob everybody every year. It's going to be ridiculous. This is stupid. And then at the same time that the electric company is making all this money, which you think Joe Biden will come out and say they're price gouging then? No, he's not going to say that. But at the same time that the electric company is price gouging everybody, they're still going to need coal and oil and all that to run these freaking power things. This is stupid, man. These people cannot be this dumb. They cannot be this dumb, Chris.
They are, though. That's what's funny about it.
I still think it all has to do with money and votes. I mean, they don't believe half the shit they're talking about. They know it's not going to affect them, so they don't care. They don't care about the normal people.
Yeah, we're to a point where our government wants us to be in pain.
They want us to suffer
so we can say, please, government, we'll do anything. We'll tell you anything you tell us to do, we'll do. Just give us heat and give us affordable food and please save the environment, please.
They're already rationing heat up in New England, and winter hasn't even set in yet, and they're already rationing the heat. It's ridiculous. And look at California.
Well, Biden said it was going to be a black, cold winter. Yeah. Well, people are going to start dying, but guess what? People ain't going to change who they vote for.
No, they're not.
My grandma just died, but I'm a diehard Democrat.
Yep. Fuck grandma. She didn't need that heat anyway. Joe Biden all the way.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. Anyway. You know, you used to always ask me in these podcasts that, you know, when there was an issue, you'd always say, well, how would you solve it, George? You know, always try to put me on the spot. But I'm going to ask you one today. Chris, how are you going to solve this homeless problem?
Well, do you want the sarcastic answer, or do you want the legit, real answer?
Well, I kind of want both now, because now you got my interest piqued.
Well, which one do you want me to go with first?
Go with sarcastic first.
Go sarcastic?
Yeah, go sarcastic.
I would solve it by giving them material to do more drugs and say it's in the name of safety. and therefore you can stay at these homeless shelters where we'll kick you out so you can piss and shit on the street, and we'll make more public bathrooms by spending $22 million.
You read that, huh?
To keep you on the street.
Do you read that, San Francisco?
So...
Actually, hold on. I got to cut you off. After that story came out about them spending $20 million on an outdoor bathroom, that project was scraped after that because people were like, what the fuck? So anyway, go ahead. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I would essentially just say I'm compassionate to homeless people and just let them still, you know, destroy McDonald's and piss the shit on people's cars. I don't think I would sit there and expand what home really means. I mean, home doesn't necessarily mean you have a roof over it. Home is our planet. And they're just living on their home, on their portion of our home. And that's how I would do it.
Okay. Is sarcastic Chris done?
Sarcastic Chris is done.
How would you really solve?
How would I really solve it? I would probably increase my police force. I would go in there with dump trucks, and I would just strip them of their fucking their tents and everything. I would start a minuscule work program that they had to pay back to the city by actually working in the streets and gutters. I would actually open back up insane asylums and see which ones are really strictly mentally ill and get them off the street and put them back in insane asylums. That's how I would solve the fucking homeless thing. Open up insane asylums. I would clean up the streets. I would do my best to get them into some sort of halfway house. And then if they were actually out there committing crimes, I would put them back in jail.
Okay. That's interesting.
But then again, I would also look and say, well, why are you homeless? What happened? Well, I lost my job and the economy was bad, this, that, and other. So I might pull a DeSantis and just ship all my homeless people to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and chop them off right there.
Well, I think you're on the wrong path here, dude. I think the simplest way would be to just set up this big giant tent, you know, and provide some snacks around the clock, culturally approved meals, coffee, some tea, Xbox consoles, give them some TVs and couches, popcorn makers, foosball tables, board games, put some phones in there so they can make some international phone calls, whatever, you know.
Sounds like a camping trip.
And free Wi-Fi, laundry, take care of their laundry for them, give them some cots, you know. That's what I would do. Well, wait, no, I wouldn't do that. That's what we do for the illegal aliens in New York. I'm sorry. that's what we do there, yeah. So we spend $650,000 in New York to set this big tent up for illegal aliens, but we don't know what to do with the homeless problem in New York. Plus, how many people did I tell you were staying in this camp? How many people?
I don't really
remember. I said five. Seven. Five people were there, and now all those five people left. They're like, we'd rather just roam the streets and commit crimes. We don't want to stay here. So, $650,000 to set all this up, all this free shit for illegal aliens. And they don't know how to solve the homeless fucking problem in New York City or California or any Democrat-run fucking city for that matter. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, here's the thing. In conservative cities, I don't think it's allowed. That's the thing. It's allowed. They allow it. And there's such a handout there that it's just they're allowed to pitch up tents. And you think these big cities, too, I mean... Affordable housing, I hate to sound a little liberal leash on this, but there's no really affordable housing.
No,
there's
not.
If you're out in the streets, you know, the housing has to be affordable, you know, but then you go build all these projects and everything, that just kind of puts them all into a ghetto anyhow. So you're just moving the homelessness into taxpayer paying a mortgage on that. So how do you really get a homeless person, you know, on their 2 feet where they can self-sustain. I mean, it's going to take some welfare to get there, but how much welfare, what does it take to really get them there? That's why I said it's an individual problem. You see these people out there on the streets, they're schizophrenics and this, that, and other. They need to go to the Salem Asylum. Yeah. They need to open up the Salem Asylums back up and just put these people away forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to sound harsh like that, but there are actually people out there homeless because inflation and the cost of food has ran them out of a house where they had no fucking where to go.
Right. But what gets me about this whole issue is, go ahead, finish your thought.
So there has to be some way that these people can get some sort of pride back into themselves and get back onto their 2 feet. I mean, a lot of people say it's education, but I mean, you can't go teaching a homeless person that, you know, I might be stereotyping and the archetype of it, but who knows if they even have a good education where you can educate them? Who knows if they can read beyond a third or fourth grade level, you know? In today's technological world, how good are they going to be behind a computer? They can operate a smartphone, but can they operate a computer operating system?
Yeah, I mean, most of them.
And I would say they can't.
Most of them probably sound like John Fetterman. But my thing is, in New York and California, they're like, well, we provide homeless shelter. They did interviews with homeless people the other day in New York City about the homeless shelters and this migrant tent. And they were like, a homeless shelter sucks. There's trash everywhere. The food sucks. There's shit all over the walls and stuff in the bathrooms, which I'll never understand people on that. But anyway, but then they were told, well, the illegal aliens, they got all this free stuff over here at these nice tents. And they're all like, and one guy actually said, are you fucking kidding me? That's what he said. I mean, come on, man. They got popcorn makers for movie night, big screen TVs, couches. Their meals are culturally approved, you know, because they're all from South America. So, and the snacks around the clock, free Wi-Fi. I mean, it's disgusting what they did to set up the illegal aliens and won't help the citizens in his own damn country. Democrats are disgusting people that make me sick. They just fucking disgust. $650,000 spent on this shit, and they don't know what to do with the homeless. Don't know what to do with them. Can't figure it out. What they want to do with then. When they don't do the tent cities, they want to put these illegals up in nice hotels and stuff at taxpayer expense. We still don't know what to do with the homeless, though. Still don't know what to do with them, Chris. They can go to the shelter.
Well, I know a lot of townships, counties, and everything have money set aside to get homeless into certain hotels. Actually, you know, bank away a couple of rooms the homeless. But, you know, it's been my experience talking to, you know, mental health professionals. That when they get them off the street, they just go to the hotel and they just do their drugs in the hotel. So it really isn't solving the problem. No. The solving problem is getting them off the addiction, getting them into a good job, getting them some pride, some self-distinction. But no, it's disgusting. You know, it's disgusting what we're doing to these illegal immigrants. And I feel like we roll out the red carpet for them. It's like, here's the best America has to offer. They ain't seeing the underbelly of this alligator. They're not seeing, you know, what's really going on. They're like, oh, wow, this is what it's really going to be like. It's going to be popcorn machines, Xboxes, and free cell phones.
But most of them turn out to be on the underbelly and start committing their fucking crimes and shit that they did in South America. So,
Venezuela's emptying out all the prisons. Yeah. Guatemala's emptying out all the prisons.
Exactly.
Mexico's emptying out all the prisons and sending them north. Yep. So, you know, it's like the Tickler file when we were in recruiting duty. We made up cards and we put them in there. I mean, I never did that. I know other recruiters did it. Wink, wink. And, you know, if you put shit in the Tickler file, you're going to get shit out. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's happening.
And because of that idiot sitting in the White House, that he doesn't give a shit. Come on in. I'm Joe Biden. I'm the greatest guy of all time. Come on in. I don't care about regular civilians. This piece of shit. I can't stand that piece of shit. So, but see, that's the thing. Democrats don't solve problems. They just add to them. It's like when we a few podcasts back, we talked about how in Kentucky, one county put up these drug machines so you could go get your drugs for free, your drug paraphernalia for free, and in less than 24 hours, the machine was emptied. All you did was you just helped these people. Let me rephrase that. You didn't help these people. You just added to their problem is what you did. So
it's like the college loan repayments, you know, the debt transfer. Yep. You're not doing anything about the cost of college. All you're doing is transferring debt. People's choices, kind of like drugs. Drugs is a choice. You know, if I decided to do crack today, that was my choice. Yep. No one forced me to do crack. If I'm a student and I want to get my education, I got to make a choice. I'm going to have to take a loan out.
Which, after last Friday when Joe Biden was bragging that he got that pass. This is how dumb this idiot is anyway. He was in front of some people and he said, I got the student loan plan passed by Congress by a vote or two. First of all, Congress never voted on it. It's just something he did executive order, which is held up in the courts. But he was bragging that it was a done deal. And then that same day, hours after he gave his speech, a federal judge said, no, we're holding this up because this might be illegal. So that's not even written in stone. But yet they already started the website for everybody to sign up for it. So even though it's held up in court now. Just like I said last week, why are they jumping the gun with a website when it's in court? Because Joe Biden's a piece of shit idiot's what he is. Anyway.
Yeah, and I know everyone signed up. If you have college debt and you can do it, it's like alimony. If you can get alimony, get alimony.
Yep.
I'm against alimony, but it's in the law. If you can get it, then get it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's wrapped up in the court because I don't support college loan repayment. I think it dances around it. I don't really think it helps the person out much. I mean, it'd be nice to have other debts paid off.
Well, yeah. It absolves people of their responsibility that they got into by themselves. And like you said, it's not solving the college issue. It's allowing the colleges to still get away with it and up the tuition when they should be going after the colleges to pay this shit back because they're the ones who upped everything once the government got involved like they do everything else.
So. Exactly. Exactly. They need to take a hard look at what – I said this the other day too, and people laughed, but some people frowned at excuse me. Some people frowned at me. And I was like, if I'm being taught by a TA, a teacher's assistant, I feel like I should be getting paid. I should pay half the tuition because I'm not being paid by the subject matter expert. You know?
Yep. No, that's a good point. As you pointed out, I mean, the professors are never hardly even in their class, are they?
My first 2 years, no, never. I mean, at the community college, always, because they don't have TAs there, really. But when I went to the university and signed up, my 200-level classes and a couple 100-level classes I take, all TAs.
Hey, you want me to put you want me to put you in touch with my anti-smoking lady?
No, I just haven't talked this much in a week. My throat.
What are you talking about? When I was there, you wouldn't shut the fuck up.
I know, but then you left, and I haven't talked to anyone since for the past 4 days.
All right, man. All right, our top 10 this week. We left it up. I left it up to Chris this week. Come up with a top 10. What'd you come up with?
I have a fabulous top 10. It's going to be e-tastic.
Jeez. All right. These puns are getting on my nerves. Get through it.
they driving you to the bones. But it's going to be spooktacular once we get...
Oh, Gus, get to it all fucking ready. Fuck.
Oh, all right. Shit.
Swig some more water. There you go.
Hell yeah. Water's life and life is water. But I... damn, I can't talk. I got a fucking frog in my tongue. I love horror movies. I watch horror movies all year round. And sometimes maybe I need to stop watching horror movies. I watched one the other day, and dude, I had nightmares, man. I woke up and I felt like there was a strange entity outside my bedroom window, and it was just trying to suck the soul out of me. It had like these two red beady eyes. You ever see those wind chimes that spin, and they kind of look like an optical illusion?
Yeah.
Well, that's how this thing looked, and, you know, I was having a nightmare at the same time, and I was holding on to a fence while I was trying to drag me into this muddy cemetery, but, you know, I can't help it but love them, and...
Sometimes I don't know if you're serious or you're just making this shit up because it's Halloween. I don't fucking know.
No, this is serious. Mm-hmm. This is... I'm being real with you. That's a nightmare I just had, you know, 2 days ago.
Were you smoking again?
No, dude, I've been quite sober since you left on Sunday. So,
okay.
You know, I had to give my liver a break and my, you know, other things a break. So, I had to give my whole body a break.
Okay.
So, the top 10 list I have here is from Rolling Stones, but I'm gonna combine a couple here. I'm just gonna throw them out there, but number 10, I don't think really belongs to number 10 is Poltergeist.
Never seen it.
Never seen Poltergeist?
Never watched it.
Dude, Caroline gets sucked into a TV. But see, it doesn't have the same effect because it had, like, the TV snow. and the snow reached out and grabbed her and pulled her in, and she went into this other world.
Well, I mean, I know, yeah, that's the one with the little girl sitting in front of the TV, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, it scared the fuck out of me growing up. I mean, I don't, it doesn't say when it came out here, but I would say it's probably
early 80s, I believe. Yeah.
Earlier, mid 80s.
No, it was early 80s, I'm pretty sure.
And what was cool about Poltergeist, the family were L.A. Ram fans at the time. But no, it was...
Isn't that the team that went to St. Louis and then went back to L.A. and dissed your city?
Yeah. And the owner's paying gobs of money back to St. Louis, though, so kind of makes up for it.
Well, he's only paying $500 million, but the league is paying $750
million. Only $500 million. I mean, that is just
junk. Well, I don't feel sorry for him since his stadium costs like $2 billion. So I don't feel sorry for him. But,
but no, that, you know, it had the little midget lady. I was trying to say, Caroline, come to the light, and then they would throw tennis balls through. But the two freakiest parts of that movie to me was when the dad and the mom was smoking a J, but dad was drinking a bottle of tequila. And remember, tequila used to have a worm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he drank it, and then he ended up puking up this large worm that he had to kill, and then shit got crazy, and the son had a tree outside his window.
Oh, my God.
It kept tapping, and then fucking it reached in and grabbed him and fucking threw him into this their unfinished pool, and there's skeletons in there, and he couldn't climb up because the ground was muddy. Oh, scared the fuck out of me.
I can see why I've never watched this movie, yeah.
Oh, scared the fuck out of me. I still can't watch it at 43 years old. I got to turn it off. I got to watch it in sections. But moving on. Number 9, The Thing. Here's one I didn't really think was scary.
Never seen it.
Yeah, The Thing. The Thing is like a shapeshifter. It goes from one person to another. And at the end, it kind of leaves it hanging. Maybe the thing is still in the person that's going to get saved, and it's going to move on to the greater world. I mean, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I didn't really care for it much.
The only thing I knew ever called The Thing was a wrestler in World Class Championship Wrestling in 1987, and that's the only thing I know about that. So.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even call my pecker my thing. I call it Willy Wonka. I don't know why our listeners need to know that.
They don't need to. Neither do I, but let's move on.
All right. Number 8 is a fucking classic. I don't even think it was scary. It was it's George Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Never saw it.
And this, oh, man.
Never saw
it. It's black and white. You know, the zombies moved really slow. They were kind of gross looking. They used the black and white lighting. Oh, it was so good. And this is really what brought, you know, zombies into the forefront. And, you know, zombies being, like, you and I are consumers. We're just zombies. We're just eating up and eating up and eating up and just taking. But at the end of the day, the hero was a black guy. But he got stuck up in the house. He was on the second floor, and the cops finally came. They learned if you shoot him in the head, burn the zombies, it kind of stops them.
Hold up here. Did you say this is a black and white movie?
Yeah.
And the black guy was the hero in the black and white movie?
Well, you didn't let me finish, now did you?
All right, go ahead. Finish.
Well, then once it kind of comes to the end, he helps this white family out, clears out the zombies, and then the cops show up, and guess what they do with the black guy?
They arrest the black guy?
They shoot him.
Hey, fucking racist motherfuckers, man. He's helping people.
So it also showed racial overtones.
You know that movie would not work today.
Oh, they remade it. It worked out perfectly.
Yeah, but was it the same ending or what?
I'm
betting not.
Yeah, I have to get back to you on that one. Let me write that down for my research for future podcasts.
I'm betting the ending was totally different on the remake, depending on when the remake was made.
So. I think the same thing still happened.
Well, when was the remake made?
I want to say it was in the 90s.
It had the same ending then. Yeah, I mean, we're talking the past 10 years, it'd be different.
Yeah. The next one is The Haunting. And it's
Well, hold on. Never saw that one either. Let me get that out.
Dude, the remake was kind of horrible. But Shirley Jackson, she writes a lot of horror movies or novels. And she has a whole horror series on Netflix. The Haunting of Hill House, The Haunting of Bly Manor. And there's another cult one she has out there. I can't think of the name of it right now. But it's just a haunted house. you know, and there's reasons why it's haunted, and it goes back to, you know, some child abuse and this, that, and the other. The older one was better, but the series on Netflix called The Haunting at Hill House, that shit is scary as fuck. And what's so great about that scary, the scary movie, that scary show on Netflix, is that every frame has a ghost in the background. So look at my little screen right now. You're watching that, there might be a ghost up over here. And you got to watch out for that shit. That shit, that's what makes it fucking scary and creepy. It's great.
Oh, my gosh. All right. What's next that I didn't watch?
Now, I feel like you've seen this one.
All right. Let's see.
Alien.
Never saw it.
Motherfucker. Really?
Never watched it.
You never seen Alien with Sigourney Weaver?
Never. Was Bruce Willis in that?
No, Bruce Willis wasn't in it.
Oh, never saw it.
Alien didn't do much for me. It was the sequel, Aliens, that did something for me. Because it had the space aliens and had that bad bitch with the fucking the chain gun. But at the end of Aliens, you see Sigourney Weaver in just her panties and a tank top. And I tell you what, at that moment, she became my Hollow Queen. You know what I mean?
Oh, please, can we stop with the puns? I've seen a trend here. I've never seen any of these fucking movies. But go ahead.
Alien has gained speed because now, you know, there's a lot of aliens. There was an alien, there's the alien predator crossover. It's lit. It's this whole little industry and world now. What about Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Help me out here. Have you seen this one?
No, never saw it.
What the fuck, George?
But I've read about it because wasn't that based on a real shit?
It was supposed to be based off a real story, but, you know, it's a slasher movie with a chainsaw, right. So that's the twist to the slasher movie.
Well, that's why I like the Geico commercial where they hide behind the chainsaws. It makes me laugh every time. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. And that guy, the guy who was in the shed with us, supposed to represent Leatherface because he kind of takes off the mask. Yeah. So this is kind of getting into the slasher shows. Like, you got Jason Wears a Mask, you got Michael, and then, you know, you got Leatherface. You're getting into the slashers. This is kind of where Scream came out of, the slasher, and you got to have a mask.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't they remake the Texas Chainsaw Massacre too?
A couple of times, a couple of times.
They can't leave well enough alone, but okay.
You know, they're just great stories, and people would just want to remaster them or give them a new look to it or reboot.
No,
it was rebooted.
It's because they have no original ideas, and I'll just recopy what they did. So that's what they did.
Rob Zombie did one, and it wasn't too bad.
I think he did a Halloween one too, which I don't think got good reviews, if I recall. So.
Well, he started the Halloween reboot, and coincidentally enough, it's number 4.
Oh, the reboot? Are you fucking kidding me?
The original.
Oh, the original. Now, that one I saw, I've seen it many times, and that is the scariest Halloween greatest movie of all fucking time right there.
Well, I don't know about scary.
No, it actually should be number 1 on your list, because that movie would scare the fuck out of how he just popped out behind bushes and shit. Now, that movie was just fucking awesome, man. Halloween is a scary fucking movie.
Well, he is made by the horror genius, John Carpenter.
Exactly, and he did a hell of a job. Halloween 2 was good, but we'll stick with your list here. After Halloween 3, it all fell apart. But anyway, go ahead with your list.
Yeah, there's too many sequels at that point. It's like, how do you kill Michael Myers?
Well, hold on here. Since we're on the subject, though, I heard the new one out now on Peacock and all that, Halloween Ends. I've heard nothing but bad reviews about that one. Someone told me they were watching it, and they were like, why the fuck am I watching this? And they just quit watching it, and I read some other reviews where it's just terrible. So, and it was actually, what's her name, Jamie Lee Curtis's last Halloween movie ever. Said she's never doing another one. So,
well, it's good, because she did a fuck ton of them. Exactly. She was in the original one, she was in the sequel, she was in the reboots. Yeah. So, yeah, she needs to move the fuck on.
Well, they need to stop that whole franchise. Like, it's got to end sooner or later. Stop. Just stop.
Well, it just got dumber and dumber, because you had Jason in Space.
Never saw that one.
Okay, well, it was dumb as fuck. And then they had Jason in the Big Apple, where he was terrorizing New York City.
Never saw that one.
It was dumb there, too. Yeah.
I've only seen the first three and one of the reboots, and that's all I've ever seen of those movies.
Then they had the Jason vs. Freddy, which was, you know, John Carpenter's two evil fucking entities going after each other. So, once again, that's a whole little universe there.
But the original Halloween was great. Awesome.
Well, I'm glad we found one that you watched. Maybe you watched this one. I don't know. Psycho comes at number three.
Psycho?
Alfred Hitchcock.
I think I've watched I don't know if I've ever watched the whole movie, but obviously I've seen a lot of clips of it, and I may have watched the whole movie. I don't really remember. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, good. Norman Bates and his mom at the motel, yeah, yeah.
And what's great about this is that it didn't have too many jump scares. There wasn't a lot of it was made in 1960, so not a whole lot of special effects.
Yeah, it was black and white, which was awesome.
It was black and white, but what was great about it is how they set up the tone. Like, like you always knew something creepy, weird, and something was there, something demonic, and what is it? You're expecting it to be haunted or this, that, and other. And you find out it's Bates who's all fucked up.
Oh, he's all fucked up.
And still in love with his mom.
I know.
You know, it goes back to that serial killer who's still in love with his mom and is brushing his mom's hair and stuff at the end and singing songs to it, you know? And you get the classic shower scene that's been mimicked many times. I think that's where it's at. Number two is The Shining.
Oh, Nicholson. Great fucking movie.
Great movie. But Stanley Kubrick.
Well, hold up here.
I love Stanley Kubrick as a movie maker.
Well, wait, how is that a Halloween movie, though?
Well, it isn't a Halloween. It's a scary movie. It's a horror movie.
Okay, you did horror movies. Okay, gotcha. That is a great movie. Love it. I could watch that anytime it's on TV. Great movie. Perfectly done. Jack Nicholson was awesome in that movie.
Yeah, you know, you see him falling from, being sane to insanity, you know. You got the famous lines, what is it, all work, no play
makes Jack a dull boy. Makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah, you know, you got the hallway blood scene, you got the twins.
That was scared the shit out of me. When I was a kid, we had a two-story house, and we would watch The Shining. We had one TV downstairs. And I would watch The Shining, and those twins in the hallway scared the shit out of me. Then I had to go upstairs to the bathroom, and I was afraid to go up there because it was dark up there. You know, I turn all the lights on. I think when I was a little kid, I'd have to ask somebody to go up there with me. Those twins scared the shit out of me. They were scary little bitches.
Yeah, but this movie actually connects the larger Stephen King horror universe with Room 237, because Room 237 is where I think the shower scene happens. You know, the blood and everything running out. I think it came out of the elevator, but 237, and then there's actually a movie called Room 237, and there's a lot of horror movies that will place a Room 237, like you watched, what is it? Identity. Identity is more of a thriller, but there's a Room 237 on there that gives a throwback to The Shining and everything. So I like when movies...
But what was it?
Little Easter egg nuggets.
Yeah, exactly. But what was it he said when he busted through the door to the hotel room there? Was it Daddy's home or what was it he said?
No, don't they say it's Johnny or something like that?
I can't remember. I can't believe I can't remember that famous line, because that's another one that's been parodied so often over and over and over, and all of a sudden it escapes me as we're thinking about it. But
yeah, I thought it hammers through and goes, it's Johnny.
No,
like off Johnny Carson.
No, I'm pretty sure it was something I'm Daddy's home or something like that. I can't really remember, but no.
You know, they got Red Rum that was all over the.
Yeah, Red Rum, Red Rum.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah,
scary movie.
No, it is too. He bashes through. He goes, "Here's Johnny." Yeah.
That's what it is. You're right. That's what it is. You're right. Okay, you're right. That was a great movie. Still love it to this day. Could watch it anytime it's on. Yeah, great movie.
Yeah. And then the maze while it's snowing.
Yeah,
that was creepy.
Where the sun walks backwards. They had the footprints going the opposite direction and all that. Yeah, very, very cool. Very good stuff.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
And then number one freaked the fuck out of me when I watched it. It's The Exorcist. I don't know if you ever seen that.
I've still never seen it to this day. Never seen.
Oh,
it.
Oh my god, dude! She's spinning her head. She actually starts masturbating with a crucifix.
Wow.
Dude, that shit is fucking crazy. It is fucking crazy. And as a little boy watching it, because it's a fairly older show, I could not take it, but I loved it.
And
I could take my eyes off the screen.
Our parents should not let us watch some of these movies.
Yeah. But I'm going to throw a couple of bonus ones out there that still scare me. It's The Conjuring. Conjuring is based off a couple that actually go and they do seances, not seances, but they clear evil spirits out of people's houses, and they find like dolls and this, that, and other. So they're a real life couple, and it goes back to this fucking little girl being possessed by a demon, and the first one they go up there and they clear it out. But it's fucking scary to me, the things that happen, and just like there's no protection from the demon. They just kind of just slave through it and get it done. Sinister is another one. Insidious is fucking scary as fuck to me. This guy has a power, goes into the world of demons, and there's just like this scary demon that's sharpening his nails on a wheel. It's fucking creepy. The original It, oh my God, I could go outside for the longest time. Scared the fuck out of me.
Out of all these movies you've listed, I've only seen two of them.
Well, yeah, I think you're missing out on life. I think you're missing out on some thrills right there. You know, these movies get the heart beating a little bit, and you know, make you question your sanity a little bit. There's another one out there, was a great one, was called Inside the Mouth of Madness. And essentially, it's our world that we're living in right now, George, is where the insane are now the majority over the sane people, and chaos is everywhere. It's fucking wild. So that is this week's.
All right. Well, good list. Good list. I've never been much for horror movies or science fiction, all like you're into, but. Like I said, Halloween and The Shining, two great movies right there I can agree with. So.
That list was the ghostest with the mostest.
Ghostest with the... Okay, thank God we're done with these puns now. Alrighty. I know this isn't going to be a regular thing, but if you got an asshole of the week, we'll throw it out there because, you know, it's hard to come up with one nowadays, but if you got one?
yeah, I do.
Oh, detail.
Yeah, I had a guest over this weekend and just kept forcing alcohol down my mouth for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I tried to avoid it. I was like, well, I just had to give in. The peer pressure was just so much.
Huh. Seems to me like, I'm just going to say it. You're a fucking liar. that did not happen. So.
Boom. Yeah.
I'll go ahead.
So, well, you're coming down this weekend. We're going to watch the World Series, and we're going to eat, drink, and be scary.
I thought we were done with the fucking puns. All right. Okay. All right, yes, we are. We're going to have some steaks on Friday, baked beans, some cheddar broccoli pasta, and all that good trash. So, yes, I don't really have asshole of the week. Like I said, it's not going to be a regular feature anymore because it's hard to come up with one unless someone really pisses you off. I could just say, once again, I don't want to revert back to the lottery people every fucking week, but I'm sick and tired every time. I was in a store last night, and same thing. The black guy with standing beside me there, he was like, hey, that's a little ridiculous, huh? I was like, yeah, I wish they banned the fucking lottery, because I'm sick and tired of this shit. Everybody in front, always wanting to play the lottery. It's fucking annoying. It takes forever. But anyway, what'd you learn this week, Chris?
Well, I learned this week that at times... My good friend George, you do some Fetterman talking. Yeah. And also learned that there's not an African American born black person playing in the World Series, which is also false, like you said. So good thing you did your research behind that. But what did you learn?
Well, let me just point out. I mean, you got a black guy managing the favored team, but yet we're going to overlook that. But anyway, I learned that I'm going to sneak back into Mexico, not back into Mexico. I'm going to sneak into Mexico and then back into our country, so that way I can go get some free popcorn and all these international phone calls and get treated like royalty is what I'm going to do. So.
Yeah, I mean, once they look at you, I mean, you got to pretend to doll, but what would your ethnic.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know what? There's no point in going down that path because I can't pull it off.
Is it hot dogs and macaroni and cheese? Is that what you want?
Exactly. I'm the typical white guy. I cannot pull off any of that. So you're right. I'm just stuck. Yeah. I'm just stuck getting fucked by the government while they give handouts to illegals. Okay. All right. Good to go.
Yeah.
All right. But with that, Halloween is Monday. So we'll be back next week. So everybody enjoy a happy Halloween. Go do your trunk and treat that Chris hates. But inspect your kids' candy. I'm sure all y'all are smart enough to do that. Make sure nobody's messed with it, because we got a lot of sick fucks out there in this world. And I hope y'all have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
Well, I hope someone out there will send us some Fang email, kind of like a Fang club. Let us know what you think, and your scariest movies, and your favorite Halloween treats. I tell you, when it comes around this season, one thing I miss is making popcorn balls with my mom. She used to make up popcorn balls, and we'd put our hands in the butter and make popcorn balls up around this time. And I really miss doing that with my mother.
All right, tell the people where they can reach us, Chris.
You can reach us at 2 Minute Shed, totally uncensored, gmail.com. It's number 2, not to T-W-O. So, thank you all, and I look forward to hearing from you all.
All right, y'all have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Happy Halloween.
Bye-bye.